Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston. Self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Sustainable You. As you know, we love to recognise, highlight, and recommend businesses, products, and people that are doing such great things in the sustainability world. And this week we have Josh, the founder of Single Use Ain't Sexy. I really love that name. It's cool, hey?
I love that name.
Single Use Ain't Sexy. This actually popped up on some of my social feeds or something like that. And it caught my attention because it's a product and a company that's all about minimizing like waste consumption or people's waste consumption in the home, which, you know, tick for me. It's also a bit of DIY too, which of course I love that, don't I, Lisa?
Of course you do. I love DIY.
I'm sure Josh will explain it better, but basically you purchase a pump bottle, an empty pump bottle, and a couple of these little tablets. You fill up the pump bottle with water, drop the tablet in, and boom, you've got hand soap. And then all you need to do is just refill it is just do the same thing, water and the tablet. So no more single use sort of soap pump soap bottles. You've got that kind of bottle for life, which is so cool. So without further ado, we would love to welcome Josh from Single Use Ain't Sexy.
Thanks so much, guys. I love hearing anyone pitch the business back to me because the whole idea is that it's meant to be simple and easy. So the fact that you can kind of just say it in a couple of lines makes me really happy. Yeah, so I guess the whole genesis of the business was trying to figure out a way to decrease single-use plastic bottles in my own life, and then figure out a way to make it easy and affordable and accessible for people to do it as well. Because I hate when there's like a really cool brand or a product, but then it's out of reach. So it's really hard to use. It's really expensive. It's hard to get your hands on, whatever. And so about a year ago, I was just burning through so many plastic bottles and I was like, what is going on? Like, if this is happening in my apartment, this is then every household is going through just so many plastic bottles, whether it's water bottles or shampoo bottles, soap bottles, whatever. And so I kind of became obsessed with figuring out a way to try and make some sort of dent in that problem. And I don't know about you guys, but I've often been like really overwhelmed by the amount of issues there are when it comes to the health of the planet. And like nothing that I could ever do could be impactful. And so then it's just like, all right, it's too hard. It's too overwhelming. I don't know where to start. I just keep doing my normal routine. And so the idea with this was to try and create like an easy way for me to make a change. And then when I was like, oh, this is pretty simple, I thought that other people would maybe get on board as well. And so that's kind of how it started. It was to decrease my single-use plastic bottle consumption. I didn't really know how. And then I figured out the best place to start for me was at home because I was just going through so many bottles at home. And so the business is really about helping people eradicate single-use plastic bottles, but from their homes.
Oh, we love that. Totally agree. It really resonates with us and kind of why we started the podcast, as we too were concerned about the state of the planet, and we were making some sort of personal changes in our lives and in our households. And then all of a sudden people were starting to show interest in that and asking us questions. You know, how do you manage to only put your landfill bin out every 3 or so months? You know, how do you do that? What's your thoughts on this or that? Plus we also wanted to kind of grow a little bit more personally and get better at what we were doing.
Yeah, and totally. And like, since I started just doing that, then you find out about something else. And you're like, all right, maybe I'll incorporate that into my routine. And then something else. And then it's like all of a sudden you're using like beeswax wraps instead of Glad wrap. And you're like, wow, I've really come a long way.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, like it's one thing to make some personal changes in your life, and then it's a complete other thing to decide to go out and start a company from scratch that must have involved a lot of sacrifice and hard work. Oh my God, I wouldn't even know where to start. So what's your background? Like, are you some sort of science whiz bang business entrepreneur and this came naturally to you?
No science background. I used to be a lawyer, but I've more worked in media, in like TV and advertising. And so I've always been fascinated with like how to connect with people and how people like to be communicated with and how I like to be communicated with. And so I guess as well, it's about figuring out a way to like have a business that's focusing on something that's important to you. So I felt like this was a nice combination of something that was good for the environment, but also something that I could get into because I'm really passionate about it. The thing is, that's interesting too, is I think people think that there's a wider gap between their idea and having a business. So one thing that I love about Instagram, for example, is that you can start a business and you can start building a community of followers relatively easy. I don't know about how you guys have found it with the podcast, but like you can, if you just try something, usually it's not going to work the first time, but you slowly get better and people get into it. I don't know if that happened with the podcast, but like you were just telling me before, you've now done over 30 episodes. And I'm sure when you first started out, it's like, what are we doing? Will this work? How do we do it? All that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how it's been with this business as well, is just having a crack, trying something and then making it better as I get feedback from customers.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. For sure. It's an ongoing process of slow improvements. Okay. So tell us a bit more about Single Use Ain't Sexy.
So we launched the business around February. Now, really weirdly, the timing with COVID was purely coincidental. So we'd already planned to release a hand soap tablet before that. And then when that happened, we thought, okay, we've got to push our launch up, even if we don't feel 100% ready. You know, like you're never ready. It's like, oh my God, our marketing campaign's not ready and the copy's not perfect and all this stuff. And we just thought, all right, we'll just start. So we launched about 2.5 months ago. It's been pretty overwhelming, I've got to say. Like, we've just had a lot of people really interested in the technology, which is all about effervescence. So I like to say it's kind of like our hand soap tablets are kind of like Barocca tablets, but for hand soap. And so the whole idea is that you're just dropping a little tablet in, it dissolves in tap water, and it creates a full bottle of liquid hand soap. So the soap still looks like water, but when it comes out, it's this beautiful silky white, like aloe-scented foam, a white foam. And so the thing that I've always been obsessed with is, like, that's not necessarily new. Like, my grandfather used to use denture cleaners, and my mum always cooked with chicken stock cubes. And my grandfather also used to use mouthwash tablets, which I know are, like, cool and trendy again, but they used to not be. And so I guess it's about, this whole business is about figuring out ways to not ship water. Because I thought, how ridiculous is it that if you have a bottle of hand soap, 98% of it is made of water, 2% of it are the raw ingredients. And so all we're doing is we're sending people in the post the raw ingredients in tablet form and saving you from shipping thousands of liters of liquid products when water is coming out of your bathroom sink or your kitchen sink at home and you're already paying for it.
Makes perfect sense.
It's funny you should say that, actually. So I used to have a natural cleaning product business. It was sort of where I've sold a concentrated product, a liquid concentrated product. Similar concept to yours, I guess, that you have a trigger and then you refill the liquid concentrate with water. And the one thing that I used to say is, why pay for water from the supermarket shelf, which is at a premium, when you can get it directly from your own sink?
Yeah. And so, Josh, you sell the bottles or pumps too, yeah, and then the tablet separately?
Yeah, exactly right. So buy the bottle once and then just buy tablet refills. So when you're finished with a full bottle of soap, instead of chucking it out and it ending up in landfill, you just refill that existing bottle with tap water, drop in another tablet, and the whole cycle starts again. And so each time someone gets one of our reusable bottles, it saves up to 25 single-use plastic bottles from going into landfill every year.
Wow.
So at last count, which was about last night, we will have saved 31,500 single-use plastic bottles from going into landfill.
Amazing. Amazing.
So within the span of 2.5 months, what's been so exciting is when we originally started the business, I was like, what on earth can I do that would actually impact, make an impact? Is it's just, it's funny how things can catch on within a short amount of time. And so I think what people love is the fact that they feel like they're making a difference as well as actually making a difference. So the other thing that's exciting too is we're releasing a new bottle that's even more sustainable than the one that we have. So we're doing that next month to celebrate Plastic Free July, which I'm sure you guys and a lot of your listeners will have kind of heard about. But yeah, it's exciting.
It's really inspiring to see that in such a short time and in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, you have been able to have such an impressive impact on the environment and like levels of plastic pollution. Well done. But I'm sure that it hasn't been smooth sailing the whole time. Tell us what obstacles you've faced within your business journey.
Do you have enough time for me to go through them all? It amazes me every day how many mistakes I make. I usually describe them in a little bit more of a colourful way than that, but I'll keep it PG because I know there's a lot of families listening. I mean, look, this is the thing. When you have any business, especially a small business, basically every single thing goes wrong that could, and then half the time, like your whole role and purpose is to like fix the stuff that didn't work until you slowly get to a point where you stop making those mistakes. So if you're developing a product, if you're dealing with effervescent tablets, if you're, you know, making deliveries out to people all across Australia, a million things go wrong. One of the things that's been really tricky is Australia Post hasn't been as seamless as it normally is. And so they've sent, you know, notes to all of their business customers, of which we're one, saying, hey, if stuff goes wrong, we're really sorry, but like we're under strain from the COVID epidemic. So there's been instances where people will be like, oh, hey, my shipment never arrived and Australia Post lost it, which I didn't actually think was possible. So I think one of the things too is the difficulty of starting a business during COVID has been challenging. Now, we're lucky because we sell a product that people are even more interested in now because everyone's obsessed with hygiene and washing their hands. But it's not the easiest time to have launched a business, which I'm kind of happy about because it means that moving forward, we will have started the business in the COVID period. And so operating it out of the COVID period will always be much easier. So it's like start off hard and then get better. But, you know, everything from testing the product, you know, you order samples and they're not what you like and then it pushes you back 6 weeks and you're like, oh my gosh, or, you know, all that kind of stuff, figuring out a value proposition, pricing, how much people will pay, figuring out what advisors to get on board, how to fund the business. At the moment, I'm just bootstrapping the business myself and that comes with a whole lot of challenges because you never have enough money to do what you want when you want. So there's this constant cycle of having enough money so that you can then reinvest it back in the business. But then how do you market to people without enough money? So, like, honestly, it goes on and on.
That's a lot to deal with when it's a new business and you're trying to just get it all right. I can only imagine your hours now.
Like, I feel like I'm in the warehouse probably until about 12:30 each night. And then I made a rule with myself that I'm not going to stay there past 11 anymore because, like, I just am going nuts, which even sounds insane. Like, that's absurd, I know. But then, yeah. But it's not always going to be like that. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends who are young founders as well. And I think you kill yourself to just make it happen, at least for the first 6 months. And then you slowly can start to maybe get people on board to help you and, you know, at the moment, there's a lot of relying on friends and family and all that kind of stuff. But I got to say, I also wouldn't have it any other way. Like, it's a really exciting way to work and live. And so I think when you're obsessed with the product, it doesn't feel as tough a slog as it would be if you feel like you're just hawking something that you don't believe in, which is not the case here.
Absolutely. I think when you're doing something you're passionate about, then there's like a magical switch that allows you to have that energy that comes from somewhere to be able to work 24/7.
Totally.
Do you have anyone else in the business or is it just you?
At the moment, I'm the only full-time, but I have like a whole army of friends and family that are helping me and a couple of awesome interns who are worth their weight in absolute gold. And so for me, like I have targets in place where I can get the business to a place where I can then start employing people. But yeah, it's really interesting because you just have to figure out ways and be really creative to get through it. So, like, it sounds insane, but you almost are tricking yourself into surviving through the start of the business. So, like, last week we were in the Herald Sun, for example, and that was a really big get for a small business because you don't have money to spend on something like that. And if you had to pay for advertising space in a major newspaper, it would be really expensive. And so there's little markers of success which, like, boost your morale to keep going. And so, like, I set myself ambitious but realistic goals so that I know that eventually I'll achieve them. And then it kind of gives you, like, a good kick to keep going. So I'll give you an example. When you start a consumer business, you have to have a presence on Instagram, right? And I never really used Instagram that much. So I said, all right, in the first 2 months, I'm going to set a target to have 2,000 followers. And it took me longer to get there, but I finally got there. And then it's like, all right, next target, I want to get to 5,000 followers, because the more people I can connect with in this community, the more we can actually make an impact and stop single-use plastic bottles from going into landfill. So it's like this constant kind of, like, cycle of setting goals and trying to get to them and then setting other goals. So I don't know, we're all learning as we go and making it up as we go along, really. That's the big hack that no one knows what they're doing.
It's funny you should say that. Just because Lisa is a real perfectionist, aren't you, Lacey? And if it was up to her, this podcast would never have been released or seen the light of day, because she was so worried about the little things, like, you know, the way that her voice sounded and the editing and all that sort of stuff. And I was just like, just do it.
Yes. And if we were waiting to be perfect, then we probably would have never released any episodes yet. So lucky for me, Jackie's just like, it's going to be fine. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. And I just went along with it and said, okay, let's just go.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, because, like, it's only easy to see that the stuff that originally would stop you from doing it was worth overcoming once you've gotten to a point where you're like, oh, look how much we've achieved. But it's always at the start, before you've gotten there, where you're like, oh, it's not perfect, I can't start. At least that's my personality. And so I've had to retrain myself not to be such a perfectionist, because I thought that being a perfectionist is awesome because it means that you're always producing great work. But actually, my experience in reality is that it stops you from doing anything because you're paranoid that it's not perfect. And so you're exactly right. Like, if I never got started, then we would never have hit the 30,000 single-use plastic bottles in landfill mark. And then we wouldn't then have the momentum or the, you know, customers to then move forward and do more. So it's a really tricky one. It's hard because you want to put something out that's perfect, but it never is. I think that's the big realization I had, that even if you think it's perfect, it never is. And so, like, half of my days are figuring out, like, you know, like, why does someone – here's a good example. You spend 20 hours building an amazing website. And then you look at your website conversions and you're like, why are so many people coming to my website and then leaving it? And so, like, the answer is you actually don't know. But the realistic answer is that you then also try a million different changes and see what sticks. And so consider that dynamic, but for every single area of the business. So the fragrance of the tablet, how you market on social media, influencers you choose, the packaging you choose, the marketing material you choose, whether you write a handwritten note or not, how you text customers, how customer support is done, how you retarget customers, how you advertise on Facebook and Instagram, like, whatever. It's like 20 iterations, but for 20 different parts of the business. So it's like at any one time, you have like 400 ideas swirling around in your head and trying to figure out which ones work and which ones don't. So it's kind of like this big game, but it can get really complicated unless you're prepared for it.
Oh, so true. So true. You're bringing back all these memories for me. After we released this podcast, like when we first released it back in 2019, we found ourselves in a bit of a tailspin after our sort of first sort of four or five episodes. I think it's called imposter syndrome. We were thinking, who the hell do we think we are? Like, I remember having a phone call with Lisa and saying, oh my God, we are so not qualified to talk about this stuff. There's so many other people that are doing stuff that's so much better than what we're doing. You know, and we kind of had to talk ourselves down a little bit. But then we just realized it's actually not what this was all about. It was not about being perfect in this area. We wanted people to relate and to understand that we aren't perfect, and that we're trying, we're learning, and we're bringing people, you know, that famous line, bringing people along the journey with us.
Yeah. And, you know, like, even as you talk then, Jackie, it sort of strikes me as there's a bit of a parallel between what Josh was saying about starting up this new business and us, and then people in general just getting on a sustainability journey for themselves. Like, there is so much information out there, and, you know, people are thinking, right, I'm going to do something now. I'll start with a compost, or I'm going to do better with landfill. But where do they even start? Because there's so many different ways to do these things. There's so many products on the market, and therefore there's so many opportunities to just give up on it because it's too hard, because it won't be perfect, right, at the beginning. And so then they just never start. But if they give up on that idea of getting it perfect, then they realize that the learning experience opens up so many more ideas. Like, you start a compost and then you realize that, oh, I'm doing that wrong, but this would really work well in a worm farm, or, you know, and then it sends them down so many different more paths that they didn't expect
to. And that's what I think is how you connect. Like, I don't connect with people who I think are smashing it and just know all the answers. Like, when you guys talk really openly about, like, some of the, you know, like, challenges you've had, that's when I'm like, oh, okay, so they're real. I can relate to that, because every day I feel like I'm out of my depth and I'm a fraud and I'm an imposter and all that stuff. And so one of the things that I'm really liking is connecting with our customers and people in the community about, like, the process of the challenges of starting something like this. And I think you're right, Lisa, like, the challenges, the parallel with sustainability is an awesome analogy, because you do, you feel like you don't know where to start and, like, nothing you do could help, but it's just the little bits that get you onto that path. Like, I was having a really interesting conversation with this really smart mentor of mine the other day, and we were talking about what I guess we were calling, like, the market for hope, which is when the world seems like it's on fire, which right now more than ever it probably does, there's a massive opportunity to appeal to people's, like, idealism and positivity. So by nature, I'm, like, a very, very optimistic and positive person. And so I love operating in that space where if you think 80% of the world is just on fire and everything's crazy, then that effectively means that you have 80% of your thought could be filled up by things that are more positive. And so what I like is operating in a space like that, where instead of guilting people into feeling like shit because they use single-use plastic bottles, it's more like, instead of saying that's really bad, it's more like, hey, how awesome is this alternative? And so, you know, I'm still playing around with that messaging, and conversations like this help me kind of refine it. But I know that if someone wants me to try something, the last way they will get me to try it is if they make me feel bad about what my existing way of doing something is. So I think what's really interesting at the moment is that's how we've approached this COVID period as well. So specifically with washing your hands, is I feel like what happened is washing your hands became this, like, scary, negative, bad, cynical thing, because it was like, I need to wash my hands 50 times a day so that I don't get sick. Whereas what we tried to do is say, hey, wash your hands, and as a result, it will stop single-use plastic from going into landfill in the oceans every year. And so it's like flipping a negative into a positive, so that actually makes people feel good about it. So I think one of the reasons why so many families and parents with young kids have gotten around us is because they want to make hand washing a positive experience for their kids and not scare them. And so that's been a big part of how we've connected with people, and I think why we've had some success, especially during this period, because it's about shining a positive light on what people are doing rather than a negative one.
So what's next?
Well, we've been doing heaps of consumer research, and the next thing that we're going to release is going to be a multi-purpose spray tablet. So it'll be like our hand soap, but it will be in a reusable spray bottle. And so you can clean, you know, all the surfaces in your home with it. And I was amazed that that is what people wanted next. this is a great example of feeling like you think you know what's going on and then you have no idea. I thought everyone wanted single-use and sexy t-shirts. Well, it turns out they want the multi-purpose spray tablets. So the goal... I'll send you guys a t-shirt. So the goal with this is we're creating a full home suite of eco-friendly products. So I wanted to start with hand soap because I felt like it's a product that everyone is already using on a daily basis. And so it's a good way to connect with people and let them know about what we're doing. And then a full home suite of products. So that'll be a multi-purpose spray tablet, glass tablet, cleaning tablet, bathroom cleaning tablet, mouthwash tablets, toothpaste tablets. So anything in the home that can be kind of tabletized in a way that will decrease single-use plastic bottles and transporting water is a category of product that we're going to be kind of entering, I think.
The reusable option is so good. And I was just thinking actually about your branding and your bottles and how it's got the single-use ain't sexy is actually on the bottle. So it's almost like that subliminal messaging for people to see the name and then they get to know the brand.
Yes, because like don't they have to hear a message 17 times? Isn't that that thing where, you know, you have to see a message 17 times before it sinks in? So if it's all over your house, then totally taking that in every day.
It's funny because that name, so I'm obsessed with names and brand name. Like I think your name is basically your most expensive piece of real estate if you have a business, but it's also free to create. So it's like this weird thing that you can create huge amounts of value in, but at no cost to you if you can be creative about it. And so I originally wanted to call the business Drop, D-R-O-P, and it was all about dropping your impact. But Drop didn't feel like it evoked emotion from people. And so I think one thing I loved is people love the brand and they love how fun and cheeky and irreverent it is. Like our tagline is don't be a tosser. And like, I just think that, like you said, if you need to hear a message 17 times before it sinks in, then as the person who wants people to hear their message, you want to make it as engaging and memorable as possible. And so it kind of set us off on this really fun path. So like, I often felt like the sustainability world was kind of intimidating and like I didn't feel like it was necessarily that accessible or approachable unless you were like obsessed with being a greenie or obsessed with being, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And so I thought I wanted to create something that was maybe a bit more like fun and irreverent as a way to engage people. I like to say I see it as kind of like a gateway drug for sustainability. And so people come to Single Use Ain't Sexy and it's not like we're the last point they come, we're kind of like the first kicking off point where they're like, all right, I'll start with the bottles and then what next? And so like whether it's, you know, with us or any of our incredible competitors who make amazing products, I just love the fact that people are like changing their behavior and then going forward even more in that sustainability space.
All right, so to wrap it up, we really love this conversation. We would love for you to share with our Sustainable You community your one tip around sustainability. It can be personal or professional.
Oh, that's a good one. I've become obsessed with reusing. So there's this concept called the waste hierarchy, which is reduce, reuse, and recycle, which is as simple as those three words sound. The thing that I realized that I wasn't doing, I wasn't reusing stuff as much. So I'd like use something and chuck it out, and I've got like a whole new insight into what can be reused. So anytime in our office anyone goes to chuck a piece of paper in the bin, I'm like, nah, here's a special thing. I'll take this with me when I go camping for firewood paper. So it like all this kind of stuff, I'm obsessed with reuse. And so that's probably my one big tip. The other thing I should say as well, just before we finish, is if people want to check us out, our website is www.singleuseaintsexy.com and then our Instagram is @singleuseaintsexy. And so I'd say as well, it's Plastic Free July in a week, starting in a week. And so we're also really excited for that. So we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff that kind of like coordinates with Plastic Free July as well.
That is a great tip. And actually, we will definitely be putting links up so listeners can connect with you via our show notes and our social media channels.
Perfect.
Well, Josh, we have absolutely loved getting to know you and to hear your story. We think that Single Use Ain't Sexy is fantastic and wish you all the best for the future. We can't wait to see where you take this. So as always, Lisa and I would like to thank you for listening, and we hope that this episode has helped you to move a step further to becoming a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie and produced by Fran from 17th Street Audio. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.